everybody. Welcome back to our podcast, What's Going On? With me, Hannah.
And me, Sophie.
How are you today, Sophie?
I'm really good. I am absolutely loving this spring sunshine. Have you got the sunshine up north?
We do, yes. Although, well, it was sunny earlier. I've just looked out of the window and it's quite grey suddenly. But it's been really nice. Did you have that storm, though, a couple of nights ago?
Yes.
Wasn't it crazy?
Do you know what? I thought my windows were going to break. It was that bad.
I think it was one of the strongest storms that we've had recently, because the wind was crazy up here. I couldn't sleep because it was so bad.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. No, I know. I've got single glazing in my cottage and they were rattling and I was convinced they were going to actually break. Yeah, it's quite scary.
Is your cottage quite old?
It is, yeah. It's like an old converted stables, if that makes sense.
Cool, yeah. When was it built? Do you know?
Oh, gosh, I couldn't tell you.
Or when was it converted?
No.
I guess it must be like a couple of hundred years old, maybe.
It must do. It's kind of on a bit of like an estate, if that makes sense.
Mm.
Yeah, so it must be definitely.
Wow. Because this house, I live in a Victorian terraced house that was built in 1890, I think. But I think a converted farmhouse with single glazing. Converted, what did you say? Stables?
Stables, yeah.
That must be older than this, definitely.
Yeah, I reckon, probably. Yeah. I'll check for you for next time.
Do, I'd love to know. So, just on the topic that we're going to talk about today, do you have any kind of like drink that you drink every day? Not talking alcohol, just to clear that up.
Yeah, I am a typical British tea drinker. I would have an IV with a tea going in if I could. No, I'm not that bad. But I definitely need a tea first thing every morning to function.
And is that like English breakfast tea with milk?
It is English breakfast tea, quite strong. I wouldn't, I have a dash of milk, but English breakfast tea. How about you?
I'm also a tea drinker. I like English breakfast tea with milk, but I can only really have one a day because of the caffeine, sadly. So I drink peppermint tea or herbal tea for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
But there is something that I tend to drink every day as well, which is I tend to have a matcha latte as a treat every day. Are you a matcha fan?
Do you know what? I'm not. And I want to ask, do you make this yourself or do you go and buy it from like a coffee shop?
Well, I make it at home.
Mm.
But I have three different kinds of matcha. I've got normal matcha that you kind of whisk up at home. And I've got like a matcha latte kind of mix.
Wow.
That's also, it has like mushrooms in it. And it's kind of like a health drink. And I have that. And I have like a cocoa matcha version as well.
Right.
And I just add a little bit more. I add some oat milk and I kind of shake them up and add hot water. So it's a bit cheaper than.
And when did you discover matcha?
Probably in Japan.
Ah.
Yeah, I think it was in Japan and I tried it because I thought it was just green tea, like Chinese green tea.
Yeah.
And I tried it and I was very surprised by the flavor. And I was like, oh my God, this is like some kind of grass drink. I thought it was really weird and I didn't like it at all. But I've really grown to love it over the last like 10 years or so.
Mm.
And I like matcha latte. I like it with milk. Are you not a fan?
No, I think I'm perhaps in that stage of this is...
a grass drink.
a grass drink.
Yeah.
But it is interesting because even I find a lot of drinks, coffee, tea, even alcohol, you know, when you first try them, that it's a bit of a refined taste, isn't it?
Yes.
It takes a while to actually develop that taste for it.
Absolutely. Before I went to China when I was a teenager, my parents said, oh, you'll need to try to, you know, to drink green tea.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, okay, let's try it. And I tried it and I hated it. Absolutely hated it. And then after a month in China, you know, I had my own tea flask and I was carrying around my green tea with me. So I think you're right. It does. Sometimes you just need time to get used to the flavours, don't you?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And that leads us onto our article, which is a BBC article this time. And it's about the fact that matcha has become so popular and demand now is so high that cafes and companies are running out really quickly. Apparently, prices are surging or increasing because the demand is just so high. And apparently, recently, there have been some heat waves in Japan, which have affected the tea that's being grown. And also, apparently, there aren't enough young farmers. in Japan. Apparently, it's mostly older people who do the farming. According to the article, matcha production nearly tripled between 2010 and 2023. So matcha has really, really, really surged in popularity over the last, 13 years.
Mm.
Yeah.
As a matcha consumer, have you noticed a difference in kind of the cost of the matcha you buy? Have you kind of seen these impacts?
A little bit, yeah. It definitely has become more expensive. But I've only really noticed that over the last year. But I also have seen matcha everything. You know, you can buy like, you know, matcha Kit Kats, you can buy matcha donuts, you can buy like matcha cheesecake, like everything is matcha. It's kind of the new trendy flavor.
Yeah. Would you go for those things if you're in a coffee shop? Do you prefer your matcha in a drink or would you go for the matcha donut?
I would 100% try the matcha donut. Like,
would you?
Yeah, matcha ice cream in Japan was one of my favorites.
Oh, wow.
And you can get it in the UK. Mm. Would you deliberately avoid that flavor?
Yeah, I probably would. Again, I just haven't developed that taste yet. Mm. Yes, I say. There's time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did, as I said, I have like a cocoa matcha.
Yeah.
I made my husband try it. He said that he hated matcha, so I made him try the cocoa version and he really liked it. So I think sometimes, you know, there's like strawberry matcha and lavender matcha. There's all these different kinds now.
Is your husband hooked now? Is he a matcha drinker?
He's not. He's 100% a coffee guy. Like, he doesn't really drink tea. He likes drinking coffee. I think he would maybe have matcha now, but it's definitely not his go-to.
Mm.
How about you? Do you tend to like follow the trends of things that are a bit more popular?
I don't think I do. I avoid social media.
Do you?
I'm that person. So, I mean, I'd heard of the Dubai chocolate, the cookie trend. Absolutely. I don't think you can avoid that.
Mm.
And obviously matcha, I'm very aware of matcha and the popularity of it, but not enough for me to be like, oh, I need to get on this trend.
Mm, yeah, you don't feel the need to jump on it, I see.
Yeah. Were you kind of ahead of the trend then, I'm guessing, with this one?
Well, I mean, I'd like to think so, but maybe I'm just part of the people who, you know, maybe I'm just part of the wave. But yeah, I do remember a lot of my friends in the past saying like, ugh, how can you like that?
Yeah.
So maybe I was a little bit ahead of the trend, but I think I've definitely got more into it over the last 5 years. So I think maybe I've been swept up by that trend as well.
Mm.
What do you think they can do in Japan to kind of combat the fact that, you know, or deal with the fact that there is a bit of a shortage, I guess?
Well, it's interesting because I think perhaps the article mentioned perhaps kind of mindful consumption.
Mm.
But I think that's at the hands of the consumer, not the kind of the creators. You know, obviously, if there's a shortage, there's a shortage.
Yeah.
For someone who kind of is a consumer of matcha, would kind of reading about this, would that make you start to think, oh, perhaps I need to modify my consumption? Or do you think it's, again, up to a kind of a higher power to be monitoring these?
I do think as a consumer, it does make you think twice.
Mm.
So, for example, I went to, there's a cafe in York called Ippuku Tea House, like a Japanese style tea house. And I went there recently and usually I would have ordered a matcha, but they had on the menu, they had hojicha, which one of my students had actually told me about. And it's another type of green tea, but it's, I think the difference is it's roasted instead. And when I first smelled it, I thought, oh my God, it smells like Korean barley tea, which I don't like.
Okay.
And I was like, oh no. But then I put some, one of the guys who worked there recommended putting some maple honey in it. So I put some maple honey in it and it was amazing. It tastes like, it has this very deep, nutty kind of caramelly flavor.
Yeah.
And I think hojicha, as far as I know, is lower in caffeine.
Okay.
So I think that could be the next big thing. People might start moving away from matcha and moving on to other kinds of tea that they might not have tried before.
Mm.
So it could be a good thing to kind of bring us a whole new, some other teas that we might not have known about, some kind of less popular teas might be able to have their moment now.
I love it. You're already ahead of the trend now. You're thinking the new trend. What am I going to set this time?
Hojicha. You heard it here first. Yeah, it's a good one. Nice. Do you think this will make you try matcha again in the future after this conversation?
Yeah, maybe I will. Maybe. Yeah, I think it has. Yeah, definitely.
Well, there are lots of different flavors. So you can maybe try it with lavender and honey or something like that. There are some good ones out there.
Yeah, you're such like a pro on this, a matcha connoisseur. I love it.
All right. Well, thanks everyone for listening. Please join our BritCent membership. You can get the English and Korean transcripts with key expressions from this podcast. So just check the link below for more detail. And we'll also put the BBC article there for you to read if you want to read it yourselves. Thanks again, Sophie. It was good to talk to you, and I'll see you next time.
Yeah, and you. See you next time.
Bye.